Alright, my friends, it's Book Club, day 22. Great to see you again. And today's episode, I think, is largely about hospitality. And so I want to start on the second, I think it's the third page of this chapter here. And so I'm going to read a little bit of talking about how, you know, our patient here has fallen in love. Our boy's found love, and he's found the type of woman that Screwtape despises. You can hear how he just talks about all these terrible things about her that make her, in our eyes, an amazing fit, an amazing woman. But he talks about the family's, the woman's family and her whole circle. But specifically, I want to talk about the family's home. And I think this is where we kind of get into hospitality. And even one of Jordan Peterson's rules, which I mentioned a few days ago, or did I mention this? I can't remember. But one of Jordan Peterson's rules is he's famous for, you know, saying to make your bed in the morning. But he also talks about how in Beyond Order, the second rules, second set of 12 rules for life, one of the rules is to make one room in your house as beautiful as possible. And I think this is part of the reason for that. Jordan Peterson's hitting at a truth that Screwtape is also aware of. So Screwtape here says, could you not see that the very house she lives in is one that he ought never to have entered? The whole place reeks of that deadly odor. The very gardener, though he's only been there for 5 years, is beginning to acquire it. Even guests, after a weekend visit, carry some of the smell away with them. The dog and the cat are tainted with it. In a house full of the impenetrable mystery, we are certain it is a matter of first principles that each member of the family must in some way be making capital out of the others, but we can't find out how. So in essence, this woman comes from a loving family. And so what for me, one of the takeaways here is just thinking about what does this mean for us, right? How can we also create a home that has this same stench, right? This same smell, so that we are leaving people, even people who are just visiting us for a weekend, with this experience that is lightening to them, right? It's life-giving. It's joy-filled. I'm sure you've had the experience, I know I have, of visiting people, whether it be friends, family, even certain hotels or Airbnbs, places you go into, and you can kind of sense the feel of the place, right? And my wife is really, really big on this. She was really big on it when we were house hunting. And there are certain times where you go into a place and you can find out later on, oh, somebody died in this house, or somebody committed suicide in this house, or some other, you know, tragedy took place in this building or in this home, and you can feel the heaviness of a place. I truly believe that. And so contrarily, you can also feel the lightness of a place. You can walk into a home, and it doesn't mean you should judge each family by your little hunch that you walk into their house whenever you walk into a house, but you can get a feel for whether it's a happy home or not, right? When you walk into it, I've walked into homes that feel very homey, they're beautiful, and then you walk into some homes that are very sterile, they feel cold, and you can just tell exactly what he goes on to say there, that he feels that all the family members are exploiting each other for something and they can't figure out what it is. And of course, the devil's going to think that. But what is he really getting at? The family loves each other. They actually look out for the good of one another. They don't try to exploit each other. And they actually just serve and focus on humbly serving and loving each other. And when you have that, you're going to have this experience and this feeling that sticks around that is actually contagious, and it actually sticks on people when they're around you or your family. And so this is the type of home we obviously all hope to create. And we do that first and foremost, I think, by praying together as a family. This is something that Emily and I struggle with. We try to be very consistent with it. We have weeks that we absolutely crush it, go 5 for 5. And then we have weeks that we go, you know, 1 for 5 or worse sometimes. And so one thing that we have to do, though, we have to make sure that we're prioritizing, is our time together praying as a family. Now, I really appreciated some of the guidance that I've gotten recently. See, and this isn't personal guidance, but just things that I've seen online, different priests and people kind of talking about faith formation of the family, that it doesn't mean that you have to pray the rosary together, you know, with your 3-year-old every single day, but making some type of intentional time to stop and offer up time and prayers to God, reading scripture together as a family, praying some sort of Marian prayers together as a family, opening your day, closing your day in prayer, praying before meals. These things are small and seem minor to us, but they truly do make a huge difference. And I think especially as men out there, you know that we're the priests of the home. And so we're supposed to be the spiritual leaders of our families. And this is, I think, is a big part of it, is making sure that we're making time for this stuff, for the spiritual development of our family, making plans for it, right? Choosing the readings, choosing what we're going to pray, or at least delegating that to somebody else and letting them pick, but at least having some type of plan and strategy that we can go about doing this. And I think that also shows to the importance, leans into the importance of us constantly growing in our faith ourselves, so we can have faith-filled conversations in the home, so we can talk about things that are important, not to be these types of families that, you know, I was raised around of, we never talk about religion or politics. It's unpolite. I think that was one of the devil's greatest tricks. God wants us to talk about spiritual things in the home. One of the greatest signs and indicators of whether or not a child is going to be a practicing Catholic when they are older is whether or not faith topics were discussed in the home. And especially if the dad was present and involved in those conversations. And so we want to make sure that we're setting the example, learning about things, bringing up interesting topics that we can discuss. So it's not just every day of, oh, these peas are good, or what'd you do at school today, but actually able to have engaging conversations that aren't just good one-word answers, but that people are excited, that your children are excited for family dinners and to spend time together because they know that you have these engaging and dynamic conversations about things that really matter. Because I think that's something that I yearn for as a kid. We all yearn for to a certain extent, is to talk about things that really matter and what really matters in life and answer some of these most important and most pressing questions. So we want to be sure about that. And I think another great way that we can go about creating homes like this is by having religious art in our homes. I know this is something that some of my friends, I think, have a lot of it, and some I think have none, or I have a lot of family members who have just none. And I think for me, it's always been a very simple thing. I have pictures of my family and friends in my house because I love them. Being, you know, seeing them reminds me of joyful memories and gives me hope and motivates me each and every day. The same thing goes with having religious artwork around. So I have a picture of my family on my desk. I have this picture, as you can see, of Jesus behind my desk here in my office. Same thing with seeing my books are inspirational. I have a religious calendar hanging on the wall. I have an American flag in my office. So just surround myself. I have University of Michigan stuff over there. My Ranger tab in my office. And so you want to be surrounded with things that you love, with things that inspire you and motivate you to want to be better and to grow and to be the man or woman that God has called you to be. And so how are saints and religious images not a part of that, right? How is a crucifix and an image of Mary, how are these things going to not be involved in that, right? If we do love God and we want to continue to pursue our relationship with God and make God the center of our lives, then the more I can, you know, be physically reminded of him, the better off that I'm going to be. And so doesn't mean that we have to make our houses into mini cathedrals, but it does mean that it's important to consider and be prayerful when decorating about how can we actually use this home to turn people's attention towards God and not just towards our family, not just look inward towards ourselves, but also look outward towards the Lord and how contemplate as a family of how that's going to prepare us to look at other people and how we look at the other people in our lives. So yeah, great chapter. I think it's a not filled with a ton of, you know, fancy one-liners, but I think that's a really, really important message, is hearing about that home that has the, you know, heavenly stench, as Screwtape would call it. We want to create that home for ourselves and create families that are also contagious with the joy and love of the Lord. All right, go out there, be your best. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.